How did you know that? That's how that ended. That wasn't, the last little verse wasn't there. You picked up the rhythm. I understand. Thank you, Callie. Thank you, Colleen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Worldly wisdom, conventional wisdom, has taught us that it's important to get peace and comfort by categorizing things in our life by what we can control and what we can't control. Have you ever heard this before? Conventional wisdom then goes on to say, make those lists, make those buckets of those things that you can control and what you can't control, and don't mix them, that this is the way to peace and comfort and just really being relaxed in life. So let's just start a little exercise here this morning as I enter into my message. Let's think about that one bucket, those things that we can control. You can control what you give your time, energy, and attention to. That's a real powerful thing to control if you think about it. You can control, in other words, that you root for the Oregon State Beavers and you like black and orange. On the other hand, you can control that you absolutely don't like yellow and green. You have that control in your life. That's powerful. You can control how you treat other people. The choices of words that you use, the way that you treat other people, whether you want to be kind to them and whether you want to respect them or if you want to really disrespect them. You have control to do that. It's right there in your hands. You can control how close in a relationship you want to be with a person, for the most part. If you want to be really close with a person, you can be close to them and be a friend. And if you want to put up boundaries and stay away from that person, you have control to do that as well. There are other things that we have control over. We have control over our careers. We have control over what kind of food we're going to have for dinner. We have control over where we're going to live and what time we're going to go to bed. There's lots of things that we control, that you control. Okay, that's one bucket. Do you feel good and you feel like you're, I'm powerful today. I got a lot of control. Good. Now let's go over here. What we don't control. Okay. You can't control other people. Have you learned this? It doesn't matter how much you like the Oregon State Beavers. You can't convince someone to like the Oregon State Beavers. You can't do that. And what you can't do is you can't force someone to vote a certain way. You can't do that either. There are other things that you can't do. You can't control the way that other people view you and how they're going to respond to you and what their opinions are on all such matters. That's someone else's power and control. That's not yours. We also can't control the past. Wouldn't it be nice if you can get into a time machine and go back 20 years and make all sorts of different decisions? There isn't a time machine that exists that does that, unfortunately. We don't control the past. And you can't jump into a time machine and control the future and look at the world that, in which you, the way you want it to be and the way you want everyone else to be. You don't have that control. But over here, there's a whole bunch of other things that we can't control. Sometimes things just happen to us. Sometimes it's not a cause or result of sin. It just happens. Some tough things. Maybe you're relating to that this morning. The death of a loved one. We don't control when or how someone dies. The scriptures teach this. Or how about health challenges? There are some health challenges that come to us that are completely out of our control. Or financial difficulty sometimes. Sometimes we just have, out of nowhere, difficulty comes. Or betrayal in a relationship. Okay, so there you have it. Conventional wisdom says, keep those things that you can control over here and those things that you can't control over here. Kind of rest and just focus on the things that you can control and life will be peaceful. Now, I think, this is the lucky odd way of handling, the signs of Jesus. I actually think this miracle is relating to that conventional wisdom of today in the 21st century. Jesus' fifth sign, as he appears to his disciples out on the sea. There's great power here for us in this miracle of Jesus. Because what's behind this miracle is that it will not actually bring us, it won't guarantee to bring us comfort if we just categorize what we can control and what we can't control and just rest and relax in what we can control. And you know why that won't always relax us? Because sometimes in life, the things that we can't control become so big and overwhelming and difficult that we just don't know what to do. How do we get there? Consider the disciples here in our text. That's where they're at. So what do we know about this text is that the disciples embark onto a boat. They had just seen the feeding of the 5,000 men on one side of the Sea of Galilee. And they're crossing over from the east side to the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And it happens at Scotia, is what it says, which is darkness. We think this is about twilight, at about 8 o'clock at night when they set out to go across the lake. The Sea of Galilee is about 12 miles in length at its greatest point and about 7 miles in width. And the text tells us that the disciples are about, what did it say, 3 or 4 miles out onto the sea. It takes about a half hour to go a mile, they think. So they've been out there quite a while, but they're close to the other side, maybe a little over halfway there. And it's at that point that a great storm comes upon them. These were common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is actually below ocean level. It's a very low place. Storms would come. And this would have been a very fearful event, more fearful than anything else perhaps. For the Jews, the sea and the waters, though that location was the most chaotic and uncontrollable place on the entire planet. Now, other cultures during this time, like the Phoenicians on the coast, they weren't so scared of the sea and the waters. They didn't talk so fearfully about those. But if you read the Psalms, Psalm 107, for example, it talks about the ocean and the sea as the depths, as a scary place that no one can tame and no one can control.